Good evening, family. Welcome to the Days of Encouragement. My name is Tosca Ferndale. I work at the Shofar Support Center and I've been a part of Shofar Stellenbosch for 7 years. It is my absolute privilege tonight to take us through the book of Matthew chapter 14. As you should know, we are going through the book of Matthew in June as part of our Days of Encouragement. At this point, it's very important to note, I'm just going to quickly flashback or recap on chapter 13. But chapter 13 was a chapter full of parables. And these parables mostly deal with the condition of the hearts of the hearers of the good news of the kingdom of God coming. And secondly, it also shows us what a reasonable response to the good news is. So sell everything, buy the land. You know, it's fantastic. Chapter 14 then also acts as a reinforcement of this radical response and also these heart conditions to the realities of the kingdom of God and the realities of Christ being our savior. So in chapter 14, you'll see the beheading of John, which is also just a side note, is not told in chronological order. The beheading is interjected as a reinforcement of a hardened heart to the reality of the kingdom of God. And then we see two of the most popular miracles that you'll find in Christian culture and Christian society. It's the miracle of the multiplication of bread, which is also a fun fact, the only miracle that is in all four of the Gospels, and the miracle of Jesus walking on water. Tonight, I am going to speak about Jesus walking on water, and obviously, as we would know it, Peter going for a light evening swim in the storm. What is important just before I read out of scriptures is that we need to note that this parable is not so much, or story rather, miracle is not so much a commentary on, you know, Peter losing his focus or Peter, you know, going for a swim because of his doubt. It's actually this massive commentary on faith, because on Matthew 17, we read that with faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. But here in Matthew 14 and in other parts of scripture, we see Jesus rebuking us for having little faith. And it seems like those two ideas are like mustard seed is small, but now I have too little faith, are contradicting, but they're not contradicting. They're actually very much reinforcing the same reality of the kingdom of God and faith in Christ alone. So I'm going to read out of Matthew 14, verse 22 for us. Hang on, it's a long piece of scripture, but I encourage you to take out your Bibles and follow. Okay, Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long away and the land beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "Is that a ghost?" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." I just want to pause here. It's important to see how Jesus identifies himself. He says, "It is I," which sounds like, not sounds like, but is in the similar pattern as when Moses was at the burning bush and God said to him, "I am what I am." Just fun facts. Carrying on. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back to the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Amen. What a beautiful piece of scripture. We often respond to this saying, "Peter, yes, you had so little faith. You looked at the waves, you looked away. If you just had a bit more faith, if you just mustered up a bit more inside of you, maybe you would have walked. Maybe if you just kept your eyes fixed on Jesus and focused and strived, then your desired result would have been achieved." Which is, I guess, a reasonable response. But what Jesus is actually rebuking is not Peter's amount of faith. He's not saying, "Ah, Peter, if you just believed more." He's actually saying, "If you just believed in me." The commentary is not on the amount, the striving, the mustering up more. The commentary is wholly on what Peter put his faith in. Jesus was asking him, why are you of little faith? Why have you put your faith in something so little, like your ability to walk or your ability to see or your ability to understand how you are walking on the waters? Instead, you need to put your faith in me. So it's not about the amount of faith, but it is what we put our faith in. And faith wholly placed in the hands of Jesus Christ produce a hope that will not be put to shame. This faith of a mustard seed that is put into Christ alone, a savior who is greater than a mountain, is what moves mountains. And unfortunately, we often put our faith in our ability, our finances, our circumstances, even our ability to strive, and that often causes us to swim when we should be walking on water. Christian, a faith placed in Christ alone empowers us to endure the storm. It empowers us to walk on the water. It is knowing the one who we put our faith in, Jesus Christ, that gives us the confidence to endure. And the beautiful part of the story is that when Peter falls and he says, Lord, save me, immediately, Jesus Christ is there to pick him up. And even when our faith falters, even when it seems like we look to our finances, when you realize it, when you examine and you see that immediate response of saying, Lord, save me. Lord, I have put my faith in the wrong thing. Jesus responds. And it is not by our own striving or trying harder to know Christ or to have faith that we have faith. It is a gift. It is an absolute gift from God. And yeah, at the end of this portion of scripture, it's just incredible to see how after Jesus saves Peter, he walks on the water. Everyone in the boat was worshiping, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. And that is what faith produces. This faith in Christ alone produces this worship of the God who we see, the God who works to the good of all of those who love him and according to his purposes. To place your faith wholly in Christ, we need to know him. We need to know his character. We need to know his ineffable qualities. We need to know his transcendent attributes. Christian, I implore you to pick up the word and read. Pick up and read and grow firm in faith, because this is how we grow firm in faith. Not by trying, not by striving, but by looking unto Jesus, by knowing Jesus. I want to encourage us to consider and examine, what are we really, truly putting our faith in? And in which areas of our life are we striving to have more faith for a desired outcome? I want to encourage us to do this and then look to Christ. And after having encouraged you to do that, with the words of Jesus, I want to encourage you. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. He is the one true God. Take heart. He will save. He will come. He is the one who we can firmly anchor ourselves in. Let us pray. Ach, Lord, what a privilege it is to have the one true God as our Lord and Savior. We come grateful, Father, pouring out just our gratitude and our worship for the sacrifice that makes us secure, that anchors us firmly, Lord, in faith through Christ alone. I come, Father, and I just pray, Your Lord, that you will open our eyes to see what are we holding on to? What are we crutching? Where do we think that we can, Father? And I pray that you will just gently, Lord, in your grace and in your mercy and in your compassion and in your tenderness, just reveal that to us, Lord, and help us let go. Father, we know that it is only you that can take us out of the water in which we are swimming, Father. Lord, you are big. Lord, you are transcendent. You are omnipotent. You are omnipresent, Lord. There is no place we can go that you cannot see, Father. And we come in your worship. We worship you as the one true God, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, for hearts that are discouraged, hearts that feel like they do not have an option, that feel like, oh, but my finances is my only solution. I pray, Lord, that the eyes of their understanding will open to see the beauty of Jesus Christ in his holiness, Lord, that their eyes will open to see the all-sufficient sacrifice that has made a way so that we could stand in our faith alone. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.